Good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Mark Phillips, and we'll be talking to him in just a moment. But I wanted to preface my remarks by saying that I'm sure many of you are very interested in what is happening with the elections. And some of you, I'm sure, are staunch supporters of President Bush. Some may be staunch supporters of Senator Kerry. Well, I would like to suggest that I do not think that it makes one bit of difference as far as the future of America is concerned, whether we get the George Bush or the John Kerry elected. They both are members of the same secret society, and this is not simply a college fraternity. This is truly a secret society that bonds men together for the remainder of their lives, a secret society that is so secret that nobody will talk about it. Now, Alexandra Robbins, in her book, Secrets of the Tomb, says that some of the people talked to her, but I suspect that the information that was given to her was, frankly, disinformation to sort of undercut this air of mystery about the organization. Because I believe, of course, that from the information we have and from what Alexander Robbins tells us, that there are strong ties to the Nazi movement there, the swastikas that certainly adorn the walls of the tomb. Why? Because the organization originated back in 1832 in Bavaria with an occult organization there. And, of course, the occult organizations all tie into the swastika. They tie into the same mystery religions that energized the Nazi movement, that energized the Masonic movement, that energizes communism, the theosophy, and Rosicrucianism, and the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Bilderbergers, and, of course, the Trilateral Commission, and the Club of Rome, all dedicated to this one concept, a one-world government, a new world economic order, a new world currency, a new world religion. So if you understand that, you understand that whether President Bush or John Kerry are elected to the presidency, we will continue our program of globalization. We will continue the war in the Middle East. We will continue taking away the freedom of the American people in the name of fighting the wicked Osama bin Laden, who just conveniently, just a few days before the election, comes out with a videotape message, this one specifically aimed at the American people. Why would Osama bin Laden do that? You would think that if he wanted to defeat President Bush, why, he certainly would have come out and attacked Senator Kerry to draw votes away from Senator Kerry. He would have said, I really fear Senator Kerry. I mean, he's the man I don't want elected. I fear him because he'll really do something about me, unlike President Bush. But of course, that would have rallied support behind Senator Kerry, but he didn't do that. In fact, it was the CIA that the President Bush controls that, of course, has authenticated this videotape And I don't know whether it was produced in Arabia or produced in Hollywood or produced at Langley, Virginia. I wouldn't be surprised if it where it was produced, but I do know it was released at an opportune time to ensure the election of President Bush. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. We're being manipulated. It's Wag the Dog all over again. With that as the background, Mark Phillips, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Hi, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure being with you tonight, my friend.
We'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest, Mark Phillips. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Mark Phillips. And first, we're going to be talking about mind control this evening, a book which he co-authored with Kathy O'Brien, entitled The Transformation of America, and the most recent book, Access Denied for reasons of national security. But before we get to that, Mark, what are your take on the elections? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, I don't really want to say me too. You voiced my opinion and that of everyone that we know to the T. It really doesn't matter. Nor did the people have a choice to start with. Kathy and I just returned from, of all places, speaking in Bavaria.
That's one of my favorite places in the world.
Yeah, beautiful place. We stayed in a gorgeous inn there in Regen, and spoke in Regensburg. It was, as you were talking about it, being that area, being the birthplace of Nazism, and the birthplace of Skull and Bones. But nevertheless, the people there seem to be a whole lot more awake than the ones in this country. And that's very sad.
Well, I've heard this so often from people who've talked overseas. People throughout the rest of the world really understand what's going on in America. It's just that the average American doesn't understand what's going on in America because of the tight control that exists over the major media. Is this the impression you get, that the people there at least have other sources of information and really can put the things together and understand
least
part of the struggle?
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, your news is not filtered. Nor is it respun by three corporations as it is here in North America. The people have access. And, of course, all of us form our opinions and our perceptions based on what we learn and what we believe we know. And those perceptions particularly can be molded quite easily with misinformation and disinformation. And that seems to be the job of Langley, as I stated in our book, Transformation of America. The CIA is a manufacturer, an expert manufacturer of lies, and that's what they're there for. Most people think of them as a significant arm of all of our intelligence communities, when in fact the CIA, in most instances, is they win wars and they take over countries through deception, and that deception, of course, is done through manufactured lies.
And they really are, of course, of masters of deceit, and unfortunately, why they were formed by enemies of America. Well, Dr. Stan, and I understand Kathy's on the line there, too. Kathy O'Brien, are you there?
Yes, hi, Dr. Stan.
Hey, thanks. It's so good to hear from you. Anyway, of course, we're going to be talking this evening about the books, Transformation of America, and, of course, the latest book, Access Denied. And where will we start? Should we start, Kathy, should we start with your new book, which people probably are not too well acquainted with? So this is sort of your story of having been certainly taken in under the auspices of the CIA and used by them for many years, and then your escape, the fact that you could be deprogrammed and they could actually counter this dissociative personality that they'd created in you. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your story for our listeners out there who don't know who you are?
Well, Transformation of America was an account of our testimony that was to be presented before the U.S. Intelligence Oversight Committee. And
now, basically, make that top secret, and so that you know that they never published it, but you actually had published it beforehand, so that they couldn't keep you from putting the information out. Wasn't that actually sealed so that nobody could ever know your story?
Absolutely, and it was put under the 1947 National Security Act, and the testimony of my experience and what had happened to me in MK Ultra mind control. Was being kept under that 1947 National Security Act when we ran into problems presenting the information to Congress because of that cloud of secrecy over it. We followed the advice of several attorneys and went ahead and released Transformation of America en masse because people have a right to know the reality of mind control, because knowledge is our only defense against it.
It certainly is. And for our listeners, I've met Kathy several times. I remember meeting her perhaps almost a decade ago, seven or eight years ago when they were here. You know, and just even the changes in her over the last 7 or 8 years that we've known her. The 7 or 8 years ago, she was still, partly under this control of the altered mind, inability to speak completely clearly, to express herself. I recently heard her give a talk in the San Jose or Santa Clara area where she talked for about 45 minutes with no notes, her mind clear, concise. But of course, this is an amazing counter to what they had done, because they'd done everything to destroy her mind and her personality. And what is so difficult for the average American to believe is anything could be that evil. And yet, of course, if you read Journey into Madness, the story of Dr. Cameron, who was the head of the American Psychiatric Association, working under contract with the CIA to produce mental disease. And people, of course, they did it up in Canada. Of course, they wouldn't do it here in America, no. But, of course, and it's an amazing story. The Journey into Madness is a book. It's out of print, hard to get, but if you can possibly get it or buy one, read it and understand the total depravity of the people at the highest echelons of the Central Intelligence Agency. So, Kathy, you pick up the story from there.
Well, Transformation of America, as I said, was written for Congress, and it involved my testimony on what had happened to me and how I was groomed and raised in MK Ultra Mind Control since I was a very young child. And my experience was very extreme, and I was very robotic for many years. I was unable to think freely for myself because of the extremes of MK Ultra mind control that I was exposed to. As a young child, I had been sexually abused, and this left me with a dissociative disorder that Adolf Hitler and the Himmler research had determined was a prime basis for mind control. Because when a person endures that kind of trauma, it leaves the subconscious mind easily led and easily manipulated. There were other aspects that our brain automatically does in defense of such trauma, and it creates some seemingly superhuman capabilities that were also targeted. Well, by the time I was born in 1957, Project Paperclip had brought many of the Hitler, Himmler, Nazi and fascist scientists into the United States and put them in major institutions of learning, and MK Ultra mind control was very much in full swing in this country by the time that I was born.
Let me just comment that Operation Paperclip was something that happened at the end of the Second World War, when many of the Nazi scientists who should have been sent to Nuremberg and executed were actually brought to the United States under something known as Operation Paperclip to continue their experiments in mind control, in biological warfare, and of course to build our space program. Another 10,000 Nazis, and some of them scientists like Dr. Mengele, were actually taken to South America with the full support of the CIA, British MK Ultra, and the Vatican. And we have a wonderful video where Sam Donaldson actually did an analysis of this, 30-minute video. He even interviews, just a few years ago, some of the Nazis still living down in South America, Brazil or Argentina. 10,000 escaped down there. Now, the reason that the American people don't know that is that video was never widely circulated across America. We're not supposed to know that our CIA helped the Nazis escape to South America and brought the Nazi scientists here, because, after all, weren't the Nazis wicked and evil, and why we would do a thing like that, or would we? We have a great new four-tape set on Operation Paperclip. Nothing like it available, and of course they're being made as we speak. So this information is available. Interviews with Colin Ross, who actually is a psychiatrist practicing down in Texas, who's taken care of many of the victims of the CIA mind control experiments carried out to create what used to be called split personalities is now called dissociative personalities. So pick up the story there, Kathy.
Well, I appreciate you making that real clear, Dr. Stan, because it's imperative that people have an accurate knowledge base in order to fully understand that mind control has been around for some time. And what began in Hitler's Nazi Germany has certainly expanded in the U.S. to not only the kind of robotic mind control that I endured, but to mind control of the masses. Whenever trauma occurs in society, the same way that trauma occurred with me, people are more easily led. It's a natural response of our brain to be for the conscious mind to relax, in essence, so that and the subconscious mind is easily led. The subconscious mind has no ability to reason, to question, or to consciously comprehend what is happening. And of course, the people in the United States were well aware of it at the time that I was growing up, and a local politician at that time had been actually sanctioning the local Michigan Mafia child pornography ring in order to target children like myself for MKUltra mind control. They knew that if I'd been abused so badly, then I certainly was a prime candidate. Well, my father was approached by this politician, who was just a local politician at that time, and told he could receive immunity from prosecution if he'd sell me into the project. And my father did. So he was immediately flown to Boston, Massachusetts, to be trained in how to groom me for MKUltra mind control. Now, recently we've heard things come out about the Catholic Church and the Boston connection, and the pertinent facts that were omitted is that was an epicenter for mind control and the abuse of the children that was going on, and the abuse that finally came to light was actually a very systematic form of abuse that was being used in order to perpetuate MKUltra mind control. The CIA and the intelligence arm of the Vatican, the Jesuits, were combining information in order to come up with an even more powerful form of mind control. So I've been talking about this Boston connection now for well over a decade, and at least a little of it's come to light. But the real fact of the matter that this was an epicenter for mind control continued to be suppressed, and that's a very pertinent part of the equation that people need to know about.
You know, Dr. Stan, there was a governor, a Republican governor at the time that we presented our testimony to the House Permanent Select Committee for Intelligence Oversight, and Governor Well was governor of Massachusetts, and I think he was partially instrumental in really stopping the hearings on our case because of the fact that it apparently hit a strong nerve when we connected what we call the MKUltra project to the Catholic Church in the Boston area.
Well, now, of course, did all of the children, were they part of an MKUltra, or were just certain ones that they selected who were the most traumatized, that really would have the most dissociative personalities? There were only certain children actually picked to go up and become part of the program.
Well, Dr. Stan, to answer that question, let me make a comment. Since about 1951, all children that attend school in the United States are tested at various times. And those test results go in directly to the government. Those test results reflect a number of things that are going on psychologically with each child. And Now that we know as much as we do about dissociative disorders and how they're created and the indicators, it's become increasingly clear that they were able to... I'm hearing the music.
Well, go ahead. We got about 50 seconds, so go ahead. I'll interrupt you. Don't you worry.
Sure. They were in the business of tracking these children, and it seemed that the children that were in a multi-generational abuse families, sexual abuse families specifically, were becoming the prime candidates for this part of the project. Of course, you know that there were over 100 different sub-projects under MK Ultra. Some of them, as you mentioned earlier, were chemical and biological warfare, but most of them were mind control studies, and many of them were genetic mind control studies.
Hold that thought right there for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Mark Phillips, who at least that long ago was certainly working with the CIA. Now, I don't know if he was ever a member of the CIA, but he certainly was working with them under contract, and certainly Kathy O'Brien. And, of course, an incredible story. Those of you who doubt that MKUltra really occurred, we actually have the hearings that were held in 1977. Mark actually offers a CD. In fact, we probably ought to offer that ourselves.
Yeah, which would.
With 18,000 pages of government reports. They tried to shred them and destroy them all, and when they didn't do it, of course, they became part of the permanent record, and they've been declassified. 18,000 pages of records, and these are the ones that survived on MKUltra, and the macabre and terrible and frightening experiments they did, in the field of psychological warfare, biology, and of course we're not going to get into the Special Virus Cancer Project, where they learned how to create all sorts of new diseases.
Yes.
New and strange diseases that are plaguing the world today, and you want to get, that's another subject for another time. So let's just stick with what Kathy and Mark are really very well acquainted with. Some of you may well remember two or three years ago on television a program called The Pretender about a child that was taken prisoner, held prisoner in some sort of an institute, but it was obvious it had ties to the government. And, of course, each week why the pretender would certainly be go through a harrowing escape, because the institute was always trying to catch him. And everybody thought this was just make-believe. But, unfortunately, there really were programs to target children and to do terrible things to their minds and to create these dissociative personalities, to do permanent damage to them so they could be used for intelligent purposes. So pick up the story there, Mark.
Well, this fictional account did include many of the more accurate points of what has actually happened over the past few decades. Mind control in the United States really began before World War II. I'm sure you've seen the picture in the front page of the New York Times of then-famous Dr. Skinner back in the late 30s, who was placing his daughter in a coffin-like box for light and sound deprivation, and he was showing how the child's senses could be enhanced and how her memory could be enhanced, and he went on and on and on. Of course, Adolf Hitler assigned Heinrich Himmler the task of researching the multi-generationally abused families of the, I guess you'd call them, Northern European Satanists and the people that were practicing occultic type religions, primarily Satanism. He was very interested in those groups because of the blood traumas involved with those children and the resulting, what he considered supernatural, superhuman, I should say, traits that they developed, like 44 times visual acuity, and the fact that they could control their own bleeding, and many, many, many other things, like photographic memories. Of course, you and I have photographic memories. It's just our film is not developed.
not film isn't developed as much as they wish it were. Yeah.
Right.
The thing is that, of course, they found that through psychological trauma, physical trauma, they could actually create people with tremendous memories. Hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien. We carry their two books. One is Transformation of America. The latest one is fascinating. It's called Access Denied, because it's, of course, it's their story, Kathy's story, as she begins to escape, begins to get her mind back, begins to think as an individual, and I mean almost of a zombie to begin with, and then gradually able to begin to think effectively, because Mark, of course, had been told how to deprogram her to undo all this terrible trauma that had been done. So pick up the story from there. Either Kathy or Mark, go ahead.
Well, I'll pick it up and hand it over to Kathy, because Transformation of America, as Kathy may have mentioned earlier, was really written for Congress. It was not written for the people. We had a very limited number of the books printed. There were slightly over 2,000 of them printed originally in 1995. We sent every member of Congress one of the books, and the wives of every perpetrator that's mentioned in the book by name. And really, we didn't sell that many of those books. Well, a few of them leaked out, and we'll call it the alternative press, around North America picked it up, and it took off. Well, we still didn't think it was appropriate reading for the average person, because they didn't have a frame of reference for mind control. At least that was my impression. I was wrong, thank goodness. And now trance is in 7 languages. It'll soon be in 10, and it's in its 13th edition, and it is expanded from what it was originally, because we kept updating it over the years. But Access Denied was written for the people, and it's a whistleblower's guide and a self-help book as well. Recently, Barnes & Noble asked us, they said, well, what category are we going to put this Access Denied book in? And it has to go into the self-help category, because it is a self-help book for anyone that wants to get out and expose a wrong without having to go to jail or go to a mental institution. And that's what happens to many whistleblowers, because they make simple mistakes. And each one of those scenarios are covered in Access Denied. As well as, of course, in Gabby's case, how I recovered her memory for her, or actually how she recovered it herself. I told Dr. Colin Ross one time that I loathe being called a deprogrammer, because in my estimation there's no such thing as someone who deprograms. A person actually deprograms themselves once they're structured. I never aspired to hold that term, although she, Kathy, and I have lectured for many years on the mental health and law enforcement circuit, showing both these professional groups how they could interview someone who's suffering from a dissociative disorder, who cannot even recall their own name, but can tell the details of a crime or something that law enforcement or mental health needs to know about, with extraordinary accuracy.
Access Denied is written in a manner where the healing process that I used, that Mark taught me, and how to recover my mind after so many years of mind control, so many years of extreme mind control, to the point where I was used on a White House Pentagon level. By the time Mark came along in 1988, I barely knew my name at times. I didn't know how old I was. I didn't know what year it was or where I had been for over a decade. So the recovery of that kind of total amnesia was a very exacting formula, but it's also a natural formula that anybody can use to recover from any level of trauma. There's been many people who've been abused or sexually abused that can use these methods to regain total control and happiness and peace and love and joy in their lives.
Well, I think, of course, this is a rough old world out there, and there are a lot of children, and there are certain parents that really are cruel, and then there are the satanic families that make a pattern of abusing their children for specific purposes, and it goes on from generation to generation. But then, of course, you bring the CIA into it, and they want to use these same basic techniques so that they can control people. And, of course, those are the really tragic people. Of course, they're all tragic, but I'm sure both those who are victims of satanic ritual abuse or those who are victims of the CIA mind-control experiments, thanks to Operation Paperclip, certainly are can use the techniques that you so well describe. But we're going to be back here in just a moment with Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien. We're going to be talking about the first book, which we carry, called The Transformation of America, and, of course, the second book, which is Access Denied, which we will be carrying here, which I think is an important book. It's Kathy's story of really how she recovered her sanity. Okay, Dr. Stan back here, and so Kathy or Mark, go ahead.
Well, where should we pick back up, Dr. Stan?
All right, well, of course, we were just talking about how your techniques of teaching Kathy to write things out rather than, doing anything. She had to write out her thoughts, because once she could begin to write them, she could begin to get her mind working normally. And, of course, where did you learn that this was the method by which you could begin to deprogram her and undo all the terrible harm that had been done to her?
Dr. Stan, when after getting Kathy and Kelly out of the grips of the CIA, in essence, I searched all over the place looking for a qualified physician that could help them. You see, I had worked in this behavior modification arena some years previous and was acutely aware there were many, many fine physicians that were on research grants and various other research projects involving human and primate behavior modification programs. I never saw any torture. I never saw anything other than some benevolent things that were being done to what I believed, and the scientists that I worked around would eventually empty out our prisons and our mental institutions for the most part. And when I went on a search to locate a qualified physician, I didn't find a Dr. Colin Ross. I didn't find anybody. Of course, at that time, Dr. Colin Ross was not even in the United States. He was in Canada. And he himself was a research scientist as well as, of course, a practicing psychiatrist. Well, when I reached the point of absolute total frustration, I interviewed a couple of psychologists, and what they told me was exactly the polar, as far as recovery methods, what they told me was exactly the counter or polar opposite of what I knew that would work. But you understand that I wasn't a physician. I just happened to see this stuff. I saw deprogramming and how it was structured in clinical settings. And, of course, it was all classified and top secret, and much of it still is. But there has been a great deal released since 1988. And the fact remains is I was appalled until I realized that Dr. Ewing Cameron, who was the founder of the American Psychiatric Association, was also a CIA officer and the one and only psychiatrist that has ever been caught and actually... exposed.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're, of course, interviewing Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien. And Mark was saying, of course, Mark was searching for techniques so he could help deprogram Kathy, but where would he find anybody? Now, he mentioned Dr. Colin Ross. We carry Dr. Ross's book, Operation Bluebird. Dr. Ross is actually has a clinic, in, I think it's in Texas, where he actually treats these victims of CIA mind control. A fascinating book. We recommend that. And we think it's so important because he goes into Operation Paperclip. This was a continuation of these terrible experiments that were carried out by our good friends, the Nazi scientists over there in Germany during the Second World War, and that is why they were brought over here under Operation Paperclip by first the OSS and then the CIA. Why would they do something like that? Well, because there are people who look at the world differently than you and I as rational people. And those same experiments have been carried on here, as well as many of the biological warfare experiments, and now we're beginning to reap the fruits of this experiments, both on mind control and biological warfare, as we see increasing diseases in America, both mental and physical. So, well, that is the background. Mark is saying that he's trying to find somebody who can help give him the information. He's talking to psychologists, and they're giving him information they really don't know. I'm sure they're not intentionally giving him the false information, but Mark has seen how this has been done because he's been associated, been working for this branch of government. Although, were you ever actually a member of the CIA?
Well, Dr. Stan, the answer to that question is a qualified yes and a qualified no.
Oh, is it yes and no? Maybe?
I was assigned to the CIA and later found out that I was working directly for them. In many instances, there are a lot of people that work as operatives for one branch of the intelligence community, or they're working as an officer for one branch of the intelligence community and are totally unaware of who they were really working for, and that was certainly my case. It was not until 1974, I believe, when someone told me that I was working for the CIA, and I laughed and I said, "No, I work for an airline who just happens to work with the intelligence community, who happens their name happens to be Capital International Airways. But I don't think this is all CIA." I said, "We do other things besides government work." Well, it turned out, there have been a number of books and reports that have come out. You've interviewed one person on your show that was a former Washington correspondent that also exposed the fact that Capital International Airways was one of the primary carriers for the Project Paperclip people. And, of course, Capital was born in 1947, the same year that the CIA was born, and the same year that the U.S. National Security Act was born. And but getting back to the issue of getting help for Kathy and her daughter, by the time that I had asked around a number of places and interviewed a number of doctors, all my bank accounts dried up, everything I owned had been seized, and in retaliation, and at that point in time, I more or less pushed the panic button, went out in the proverbial backyard and dug fruit jars up, and I moved Kathy and Kelly to Alaska, where I reestablished contact with some people that I had entrusted my life to many years previous and hoped that they wouldn't let me down, and they didn't. I really don't know who specifically I was talking to. I was given a series of 800 numbers that were only good for one-time use only, and I would talk with someone, and they would tell me what to do, and I would go home and work with each one of those tools that they handed me, and sure enough, it took about 9 months, and it worked. Kathy recovered enough of her memory, enough details, even down to bank account numbers and this sort of thing, that we turned it over to U.S. Customs. U.S. Customs investigated it, and William Von Raab, who was ahead of U.S. Customs at that time, became involved directly, and then he of course, resigned his cabinet position when he said he could no longer be an effective head of U.S. Customs because he was fighting his own government, and he was aware of it. So that was a significant thing, and it helped us, I think, at that point to survive, and, of course, when we presented our case back in Tennessee in a civil court, a judge in front of all those lawyers, and it was an open court, imposed the 1947 National Security Act on our case and wouldn't allow us to present any evidences or anything. And at that point is when we went to Congress. And, of course, after going to Congress, they held three different separate hearings about having a hearing, and each time we'd be called and told this is the big one. We would go to Washington, and we would wait in line, and all of a sudden, at the last possible moment, they'd say, we've had to postpone this for this reason or that reason. Well, after the third postponement, our lawyer said, just let's condense your testimony, put it in the book, and put it out on the street. This is going nowhere.
And so that's what you did, and that's where Transformation of America
came. That's where Transformation of America was born. And like I said, I didn't consider it a book. I consider it a horror story, because all it is raw testimony that we had managed to get U.S. Customs and some other cooperative persons within federal law enforcement to help us to get validated. And of course, we had some hard documents and evidences, which we still hold. And those things all were stopped from being presented, even to the U.S. House Intelligence Oversight Committee, which is supposed to be the last bastion of relief for intelligence oversight, you know, and things like this. But unfortunately, it was stopped right there, and we just went public, and we have not stopped, and we're not going to stop, Dr. Stan. We're like you. We could go do something else, but frankly, if we don't sound this alarm, I really feel like that I'll pay an eternal price on my soul.
Well, I think it's what you're doing is so vitally important, not only speaking here out across America, but, of course, acting as a resource, getting information, and then talking to the people throughout the rest of the world. The battle will be fought or lost here in America, because we are the most powerful nation in the world.
I know.
But unfortunately, the American people, good people, have no idea what's really going on behind the scenes.
It was just like in Nazi Germany, right. when the churches were supporting Hitler.
Well, I see a very definite similarity between what happened in Hitler's Germany and what's going on here in America today. But, of course, after Hitler's Germany, when the Christians realized they'd been lied to by their leaders, why it destroyed the church. And you go to Germany today, and you're not going to find very many Christians there. You're not going to find very many Christians, in France today. You're not going to find very many in England. Probably in England today, less than 3% of the people are
Church. Goodness, no, I didn't know that.
I mean, they have destroyed the church there because, of course, the people found that their leaders were lying to them. And it wasn't because the message of the cross was wrong. But it was because the Christian leaders compromised their position because they wanted to get along with the government. They wanted to be popular, and they didn't have the courage to speak out. And I fear that they're going to have to one day to answer why they had far more fear of government than they had of God.
We had a minister, a very close friend of ours, drop by today, and we were telling him about the fact that you were on the presidential prayer team. And what you had done, and what your associate, your only associate in that, had also supported you in. And he was amazed, just absolutely amazed. And this person, of course, he totally agrees with what you and I and Kathy already know about how the church is being destroyed for the same reasons that it was done in Germany. Although in Germany, I did find maybe it's just because someone was pandering to me. Maybe it was because I was just preaching to the choir. But we did meet quite a few Christians in Germany.
Well, they'd probably be the ones that come to hear what you had to say.
Could be. But
I had a friend of mine who just came back from over there. One of our supporters, he speaks fluent German, and he was just saying that at least among the people he had talked to, how they just didn't want to hear about Christianity because they didn't believe. Now I'm sure that there's always a remnant, especially in southern Germany. That was sort of the where the Protestant Reformation began there.
Maybe that's the reason.
Wittenberg, it was in southern Germany, Bavaria, anyway, wherever Wittenberg is in the southern part of that area,
yes.
Where Martin Luther, of course, posted his 95 edicts on the wall there that's up on the door of the church in Wittenberg. So,
right.
Anyway, let's get back, of course, to this incredible story. So, as you begin programming or deprogramming,
key word, As I began giving Kathy the structure in which to literally deprogram herself, the first order of business was that she was not to voice anything to me. If she remembered something, if she had a flashback, she was to write down every bit of what she could of that flashback and then come back later and take a look at it and after 3 weeks, allow 3 weeks to pass. And of course, the traumas were the first things that she was beginning to remember. And after my having to read that many traumas, it affected me very much like a soldier on a battlefield. I began to develop what I saw in myself as post-traumatic stress disorder syndrome symptoms. And that became very disturbing because I wasn't a part of any of her victimization, but it was just exactly like I was having to relive it. And in fact, she wasn't having to relive it because she was writing it out. She was literally taking the unimaginable on one side of her brain, and through the act of using her pen in her hand, she was connecting it to the logic side of her brain. And it was all becoming logical. In other words, the illogical was becoming logical. And the details that she was able to provide, because it was done under trauma, were sufficient enough to turn over to customs enforcement, and they were able to validate them. And of course, I remember all too well when Max Kitchens, who was head of U.S. Customs Enforcement for all of Alaska and Asia, came to the house, and literally it was 40 below zero, and this guy was sweating and perspiring across his head, and he said, I think you guys are going to die. I think your lives are in grave danger. I said, why? He said, well, we've been able to validate a lot of what you have given us, and the accounts that you gave us all go right back to the CIA. And I had given him bank account numbers and stuff that out of the Cayman Islands and Switzerland and other places. And it was all drug money. And it was the money was being used for buying and trading arms around the world. So that information was very horrific for me personally. And had it not been for my faith, I do not have any idea. I know I could not have survived. So it was the Lord that carried me through those worst moments.
Well, Chris, you were up in Canada for quite some time, and then, of course, you came back to the United States because you wanted. Was Kelly with you at the time? Kelly, for our listeners, is Kathy's daughter.
Yeah, she was with us, and of course, she went into a type of respiratory failure when she was feeling safe. She began an auto-remembering process. In other words, she began to have flashbacks on a constant level, and she developed a death type of respiratory problem in asthma. And, of course, we took her to the hospital, and they couldn't find any of the symptoms, but they said she's dying. So we later found out as long as she was near her mother, she felt safe, and as long as she felt safe, she was going into this program, which had been instilled probably by some kind of technology. I don't think it was a hypnotic suggestion. I think it was technology. And so Kelly went into an institution and only emerged when she was 18. And it was very sad because even though she was separated from her mother and I, we kept in constant contact, and that was very fortunate because Kelly is now on a slow road to recovery. She's got a long way to go, but she knows love, and she knows respect, and I believe that eventually Lord will heal her.
Now, of course, she was in one of these CIA mind-controlled experiments, too, wasn't she?
She was born into it.
Right. So she really didn't stand a chance. People say this thing really couldn't happen. Why we wouldn't do something like that? And yet, of course, you know, if you are studying what's going on over in Afghanistan today, you find out that we have CIA agents over there torturing people.
Yes.
And of course, this is what Abu Ghraib was all about. Read what the people who had confessed to their crimes have said. They were working with the CIA. There were CIA people there. And the CIA people are working in Afghanistan, and they are torturing people, too. In fact, they arrested some guy who had 14 or 15 Afghans, some of them hanging from their feet, and he said, look, I'm working for the CIA, and the CIA said, oh, shucks, we never heard of you, you know.
Yeah.
And so they've condemned him to 20 or 30 years in jail. Of course he was working for the CIA. How many people do you think travel to Afghanistan today? Are allowed to work freely there? Allowed to have weapons? You know, allowed to kidnap people and torture them to get information? Does anybody think that this fellow was just doing this because he liked being in Afghanistan? Of course not. He was a CIA operative. This is how they work. And, of course, if they're discovered, why the government has plausible deniability. We never knew you.
Well, but that's the part of the thing that you know when you go into this business. They will disavow any knowledge of you or the project or assignment that you're on. And you are left to stand for any crimes that may be charged to you.
And, Chris, they're operating in Iraq. You have your military, and then you have your CIA. They call them contractors.
Right.
And many of these contractors just happen to be ex-Special Forces, ex-SEALs, ex-Delta Force.
Right.
And, of course, they're being used for all sorts of covert operations over there. These men are trained to kill. I believe many of them are honestly believe that they're working for America. They're trying to protect us. But you don't do something good by doing something evil and wrong. And, of course, they can do things that the Army can't do in the way of torture. Could this happen? I've talked to people who've been to assassin school, who've been taught torture. Colonel Daniel Marvin, a frequent guest on our programs. I've talked to at least three separate CIA assassins. We're not talking about make-believe. We're talking about the reality of what's going on in the world today. Well, we're going to be back in just a minute to wrap up this program with Mark Phillips. The books we've talked about, well, and we'll tell you about it just as soon as we get back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Mark Phillips, Kathy O'Brien. We've got about 3 minutes for this segment of the program. So, Mark, why don't you do the talking and I'll be quiet.
Dr. Stan, you and I interface very well. And, your knowledge of mind control as a talk show host exceeds that of any talk show host that Kathy or I have ever worked with, and we've done close to 2,500 or more shows over the years, and I applaud you for your knowledge.
Yeah, that probably applies to just about most topics.
Yeah.
Dr. Stan's very, very knowledgeable, and I certainly appreciate that.
That's amazing how you can really convince most of the people most of the time, I think it is, or something like. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
Kathy, what are your thoughts? Now, you've lived through this. You've come out. I was so impressed hearing you talk there in Santa Clara earlier this year, the clarity of your mental process.
Oh, I feel so fortunate to have survived and to have recovered my mind and my memory, to know who I am, where I've been, where I'm going. And most of all, I feel real fortunate to know love. Not only the love that Mark and I share, which is very profound and I'm sure shines through in Access Denied, but also to know that love exists in this world, because with my experience, I had lost that view. And yes, love does exist in this world, and truth ultimately prevails. And I feel real fortunate to be a part of that and to know so many inspirations all along the way of recovery and people making a difference in their own area, just like you.
Well, of course, the thing is that I think it's so important to realize that most people are good people.
Yes.
There's only a very, very small group of very evil and wicked people out there. It's just that they get into positions of power, and then they misuse that power, and, of course, what people have missed is behind them. We really are satanic and Luciferian forces. This is not imaginary. There really is evil in this world, and I believe that it is manifested through many of the terrible things that go on. This doesn't represent America, what you and I believe in, but
right.
It does represent the fact that there really are forces out there that few people even conceive of.
And unfortunately, our leaders, our gregarious outgoing leaders, unfortunately, many, many, many of them are what, by clinical definition, are sociopaths. They believe that the end justifies the means, and whatever needs to be done to accomplish whatever they feel, I mean, they genuinely feel what they're doing is best for you and me, they're going to do. And unfortunately, these are people that with very strong personalities.
Hold that thought right there, Mark. We got to go to a break here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to wrap up this first hour of our program. Our guest this evening has been Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien, and they're good enough to stay on with us the second hour. And we've talked about a number of books. We've talked about The Transformation of America. That's TRANCE, Formation of America, written by Kathy and Mark Phillips. You will really want to read this book. It's got a section in there on Dick Cheney. Now, this is not a nice book, and I think Mark is absolutely right. This is not the sort of book that you really would want to necessarily have to circulate across America.
Oh.
It was written for testimony for the Intelligence Committee, but of course they weren't about to let this information out. So the book is available, and you'll learn a lot about Dick Cheney there, that you understand why this man, is the Vice President of the United States today. I think that this is a very important book. The second book, of course, is Access Denied, written by Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips. Then we carry, of course, Dr. Colin O'Brien's book, Operation Bluebird, and he read the 18,000 pages of this government documents going into the background of the CIA mind control experiments that you're never going to hear Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw talking about. We've got a great four-tape set on the mind control. We have a new four-tape set. It's called Operation Paperclip. Nothing quite like it, because it goes into the background not only of how we brought the Nazi scientists to the United States to carry on the terrible, terrible experiments right here, but also how we helped 10,000 Nazis escape to South America. Klaus Barbie, Eichmann, Mengele, Martin Bormann, and many others, 10,000 of them. And, of course, the fact you haven't heard about this simply reflects the degree of control that today exists over what the American people think. And then, of course, we have the MKUltra report, the Senate investigation of that, 1977, the so-called Church Committee, where, of course, the CIA had ordered all the documents destroyed, and some people working in government, good people, just put a couple of boxes aside and didn't shred all the documents. Of course, it's illegal to shred documents, but the CIA doesn't play by the same rules you and I do. They can't let the American people know the truth, and yet those documents showed up, and they became the basis of the MKUltra reports and several other reports on the use of biological weapons and biological techniques on the American people. They're all available through Radio Liberty, and, of course, if you'd like to get more, learn more about them, the telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We hope that many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And then, of course, you can listen to our programs there 5 hours a day on 4 or 5 different internet sites, although radioliberty.com is the best one. As you know, our programs are heard on shortwave, but I don't know whether it's just coincidence, but they changed our frequencies. They gave us 2 weeks' notice so we could let everybody know what our new frequencies would be on shortwave. And then the day before they changed them again so that we couldn't tell anybody what they were. But for those of you out there, of course, we hope you'll get the information out. You can hear our shortwave both our afternoon, which is 3 to 5 Pacific time, or 8 to 10 in the evening Pacific time. Of course, Eastern time, that is 6 to 8 and 11 to 1. But, of course, you can hear it at 7.535 both of the programs, 7.535, or the evening program is heard for the first hour at 5.835. That's 5.835. The second hour at 5.970. So if you're listening on shortwave, you're going to have to change over to 5.970. If you're listening on Angel 2, Angel 1, of course, will continue at 7.535. Let me give that one more time. First hour, 5.835. If you're listening there now, second hour changes to 5.970. I wouldn't say somebody dislikes us, but, well, we'll be back again over the second hour very, very shortly. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. Now, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And of course, we will, during this hour, open up our lines for callers. If you have a question for Mark or a question for Kathy, they have an amazing, amazing story to tell, and I believe it's only through God's providence that they have survived, because they've challenged one of the most vicious and really dangerous organizations in the entire world today. Now, there are a lot of good people who work in government, and there are lots of good people out there who know what's going on and really want to help, but unfortunately there's very little that they can do. If they work for government, they can't speak out. I have personally had the experience of having things sent to me, very important things, sent anonymously. I've checked them out. They're accurate. And one of that has to do with the background of the AIDS epidemic, the fact that the virus that has now killed over 20 million people and infected another 40 million is actually a engineered virus. It was actually created, and of course we know pretty well where it was created. I've talked to scientists who've told me that other scientists come to them where they were working on the project, and they said, we never thought that this would be actually used on people. It was all for science. It was all experimental. We had no idea. But of course, they don't dare speak out, or they would risk everything. So, of course, Kathy and Mark have risked everything. And what happened was the government came in and confiscated Mark's savings and took everything that he had. But at least he's been able to can keep himself going, and by speaking and writing books and taking jobs. I know he's been working over in the Far East for some time, and he's only recently back in the United States. I was a little worried that maybe they'd done him in here, but we got him finally tracked him down earlier this year. Now, will you be going back overseas, or are you going to stay here and continue working?
It really depends on a number of factors, and all of them revolving around economics. This second book is the book that we were asked to write some 3 years ago when approached by a couple of different motion picture companies who wanted to do our story, but of course could not do it based on Transformation of America. So they really wanted to know the public story, the one that there's an absolute 100% document or something substantial to back every word that is said, and rather than have them write our own life story, we decided to do it ourselves, and Kathy sat down with some 1,500 hours of audio tapes that we had made covertly and overtly over the years, as well as the documents, piles, and boxes full, and we reconstructed our life, and that's what's in Access Denied for reasons of national security.
And so do you think it'll be perhaps one day become a movie for the American people?
I believe so, and I have other reasons to say that. We just finished a documentary for the Japanese television and introduced that concept, and the documentary was an extraordinary success this past August. And now the Japanese have come back to us and asked us to do a series. So it looks as though, you know, we didn't succeed in the United States breaking through the media veil, but we will outside this country, and it will penetrate.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening is Mark Phillips, Kathy O'Brien, and we're talking about their new book. It's called Access Denied, and it's a fascinating book. And of course, one of the things that fascinated me, you knew Fletcher Prouty. You'd actually gone to visit him, and of course I'd had the opportunity of talking to him a number of times. In fact, we have a wonderful 2-hour interview with Fletcher Prouty, which is in our JFK assassination tapes. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about how you happened to run into Fletcher Prouty, Colonel Fletcher Prouty, former liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA. How did you happen to run into him, and what did you learn from him?
Well, Fletcher Prouty was someone that I had always held in respect. I was aware of who he was and was aware of his position. This was, of course, back in the 60s when I was first involved with the government. And, of course, up until his death, he was one of the very, very few former he was Air Force, but former military that was allowed to, seemingly allowed to speak publicly about what he knew about the CIA, and he still had physical access to CIA and Langley, and he went back and forth frequently. Fletcher was possibly one of the most remarkable people that I've ever had an opportunity to know, and of course, some of how I know him, I'm not comfortable in discussing, but none of it bad, all of it good.
Let me just, for our listeners, he was immortalized in Oliver Stone's film, JFK, as the colonel who sat on the park bench with the attorney, the crusading attorney from New Orleans,
right.
And of course told him there really is a conspiracy behind the assassination of President Kennedy. Now, the film really did not depict exactly what happened.
No, it didn't.
But in other words, they never sat on the park bench, but Colonel Fletcher Prouty did go to Jim Garrison, the district attorney, and say, "There, I know that there was a conspiracy behind the assassination of Kennedy. I was the liaison between the Defense Department and the CIA, and you keep looking for it, and I'll do everything I can to help you." And I know he was actually was a consultant on that film that Oliver Stone put out, and of course people attack Stone. They don't like him because he's a left-winger. That's all right. This film had a lot of truth in it, and I think it helped many people to realize we've been lied to by the government. And if we haven't been lied to by the government, why are they still holding so much of the information about the Warren Commission, about the assassination, still top secret? Who are they trying to keep the information from? Lee Harvey Oswald? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course our guest this evening, Mark Phillips, Kathy O'Brien, and the book Access Denied, which is their latest book, which we will be carrying, actually goes into a great deal of detail about their life, and one of the people they ran into, of course, was Mark Phillips. So why don't you pick up the story there?
Well, with Fletcher Prouty, I have a picture of him hanging right here in front of me on the wall, he and I in his study and at his home in Virginia. Fletcher Prouty, when I had the opportunity to meet with him privately on a couple of occasions, the last time he told me he had just undergone quadruple bypass heart surgery, and he told me that he really appreciated what Kathy and I were doing, and that as long as we continued on the same path that we were on, that they would leave us alone and we could keep talking, because you know, big truths lack credulity, and the CIA is not the least bit concerned about, as horrible as the stuff is that we're talking about, they're not the least bit concerned that the masses are going to rise up or that the national medias are going to pick it up. And of course, in my naivety, I believe that he was wrong at the time, but he's proven out to be 100% correct. And as I've always believed, it's much easier to be a whistleblower against the government than it is a corporation. If you're a whistleblower against a corporation, a major corporation, you're probably going to get killed, particularly if it involves, you know, any sort of dealing between the corporation and the United States government. However, if you are whistleblowing and exposing a government wrongdoing, the government just simply does the old denial thing. And in our case, they couldn't do the denial thing because of U.S. Customs, so they slapped the 1947 National Security Act on us. And you know, Dr. Stan, Margaret Truman, when she was alive, told me on the phone that her father only regretted one thing in his presidency, and that was signing the National Security Act. He said that he was tricked, and he said that by enacting that into law, he felt as though that by the year 2000 or thereabouts, that the United States would be fully in the hands of what he considered a Nazi regime. And guess what?
Well, we're certainly moving rapidly in that direction, but of course, the American people are accepting it in the name of, well, we've got to fight those wicked Islamic terrorists. After all, you know, we've got to give up our freedom because we're threatened by the Islamic terrorists, and that's why when we have to go through the airport, we have to all, you know, go through the, take off our shoes and take off our coats, and of course, then of course, they always go over me, especially because I've got a couple of metallic hips, so it always sets this off, but you know, the thing is that you cannot target Muslims. You cannot target Muslims. If you own the airline, if you were running one of those security checks, you're not allowed to pull more than two Muslims out of the line. There could be 30 Middle Easterners there, all of them terrorists, but you can only pull out two of them because, after all, we can't profile people here in a free society, so we're going to treat everybody as if they're a terrorist. And what's wrong with this picture? Anybody who's got a half an ounce of sense ever heard the story of Robert Reed, the mad shoe bomber, and that's why we have to take off our shoes. The trouble was that the explosive was C4. Now, C4 was, of course, in the sole of his shoes. C4 you can't set off with a fuse. You have to have blasting caps. So why was he trying to light a fuse? Well, they knew very well it wasn't going to go off. Now, poor old Robert Reed just wasn't very smart. He didn't realize the whole thing was a setup. And, of course, he'll spend the rest of his life in prison, where he deserves to be, because he was quite willing to kill the people on the plane. He's a dangerous individual. Indeed. But he never understood that he was never supposed to blow up that plane. It was all simply a matter of perception for the American people. Oh, my goodness, the Muslims are really out to get us, and some of them are. But if they really are, then why aren't we allowed to racially profile them? If I was a Muslim, I would certainly want to have the racial profiling, because I would want to be secure on a plane if there really is a threat from the Muslim terrorists. So pick up the story here. I'm going off. We want to stick right to what you learned from Fletcher Prouty, and he tells you really you were going to be all right as long as you just kept telling the truth.
Yeah, Fletcher was insistent upon one thing. He said that the biggest mistake that whistleblowers make is that they will have a tendency to add to or embellish that which they experienced and know and can prove. And he said, as long as you don't make that mistake and realize that everything that you say can and will be used to destroy you at some point in time, and that's the reason that we, Kathy and I, don't have to use scripts. That's the reason that we can speak and do, you know, thousands of radio shows, and we can do literally over 1,000 public appearances all over the world, and not once has anyone ever come forth and said, you contradicted yourself. Now, George Bush Jr. can't say that. Neither can George Bush Sr., neither can Clinton, neither can Kerry. They all contradict themselves on a regular basis. And it's mentioned briefly in the press. However, for us, if we ever did it, I think it would spell our demise, as far as we'd probably wind up in prison or in a tucked away in a mental institution somewhere forever.
Okay, well, we got Mary calling from Covina here in California. Hi, Mary. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I would like to ask Mr. Phillips, or just tell Mr. Phillips, about an experience that I had when I got that excerpt that he talked about, Cheney, off of the internet a few years back, and I printed it up, and I showed it to a person, and he said to me, do you believe that? And then another man that I showed it to said that he said, well, if this is true, this is pretty terrible. And I think what I just am always so amazed at people, that they would tend to believe him more than they would the person that would, you know, give you the information on someone. And I always wonder, what is wrong with people? They don't know Cheney. Why would they think that he's more credible than the person that's bringing this information out? Plus the fact, you could get in trouble if you were saying something like that about someone that wasn't
true. I would be locked up. And
right.
Or I would be sued, and Kathy would be sued. One thing I will point out, when you mentioned Cheney, a former CNN reporter interviewed Cheney's daughter and asked her if she was aware of Transformation of America or Kathy O'Brien, and she said yes, she was, that her family had been sent two or three books. This was, of course, part of what we did ourselves, and the reporter went on to say, well, what do you think? And she said, well, I wouldn't put anything past Daddy, quote, end quote.
I wouldn't put anything past Daddy.
No, I wouldn't put anything past Daddy, end quote. Now, that is on audio tape, and it was made of his daughter when she commented about our book. The fact remains is that most of what is in Transformation of America, thankfully, is outside of most people's realm of knowledge or experience. And, of course, the media paints a very different picture of these so-called leaders that we have,
mm-hmm.
than what in reality is their true nature. And Cheney is certainly an exception to the rule as far as brutalness. He's probably one of the worst.
I know. And I mean, like, when I heard it, my first thing is, why would I not believe it? Because I tend to believe that people that bring this stuff out, they're not, you know, they don't have any axe to grind, or don't have any ulterior motive.
No, and we don't particularly, because this doesn't recognize any party lines. You know, this is not a Republican thing, and it's not a Democrat thing. Kathy's owner was Senator Robert C. Byrd. Former, as a matter of fact, he was put into office in West Virginia by the Ku Klux Klan,
mm-hmm.
and he was a proud member of the Ku Klux Klan.
I wonder why we never hear about that from the media.
Oh, you do. He's actually in the past year, he's had to come out and he's with one of his long-winded diatribes apologized for ever being associated with the group. Blah blah blah. But the fact remains is this is the character of the person. And why does anyone want a former card carrier of the Ku Klux Klan in holding the purse strings of our country for so many decades? This man has been in office longer than Kathy O'Brien's been alive.
Mm-hmm. I know, but I guess I'm calling because I can't figure out what is wrong with people.
But Mary, there's a spiritual blindness out there, and if you understand that, it makes sense. If you're looking for logic, there isn't any logic. Our job is to keep putting the information out there, and hopefully one day the Lord's going to draw the veil back from people's eyes. They're going to say, "I remember when Mary told me that."
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Anything else, Mary?
No, that's it.
God bless. Thanks,
Mary. I would strongly urge you to have these people rather than take a look at Transformation of America. First, I would strongly have you let them look at and read Access Denied for Reasons of National Security. The simple reason being, Transformation of America is, as we've stated, is our testimony before Congress, and it is pretty rough. It doesn't cut any corners, and it has all the things in it, all the elements of a horror story.
Well, it was a nightmare for Kathy, and as it's a nightmare, I'm sure, for many people who are still trapped in these various programs, and the average American living comfortably in their home, really is unconcerned about this sort of thing, because they say it can't be real. Sounds like it might have come out of the X-Files. And yet, I'll tell you what, there's a lot more truth in some of the things in the X-Files than there is on ABC, CBS, and NBC News, and then, of course, the story of the pretender, it was a make-believe story, and it was based so much really actually on the sort of things that do go on behind the scenes with government institutes that are experimenting on children and on human beings. We'll be right back here in America. I should be right back here at Radio Liberty in just a moment with our special guests. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening, of course, is Mark Phillips. Kathy O'Brien's on the line with us. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're out there listening to us, we'd love to hear from you. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And certainly we have our internet audience. I hope we're getting our shortwave audience back, as we pointed out just a few minutes ago, why they didn't tell us until the very last day that they were going to change our frequencies to a different number. Now, this is what they did before. It took us 6 months to get our audience, and then, why, of course, the same thing happens over again. First time it happened, it was an interesting thing. The second time, it was a coincidence. I wonder what's going to happen in the future. Under any circumstances, certainly we're talking about the new book. It's called Access Denied. And of course, it goes into many of the fascinating experiences, the fascinating people that they've met. And you ran into an awful lot of good people who really wanted to help you, didn't you, Mark?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, the ones that are unnamed, because I don't know who they were, with CIA and with another unnamed intelligence community, was responsible for helping me help Kathy restore her mind. And then there has been so many people within the federal government, particularly law enforcement arms, both the FBI and U.S. Customs, that without their help, you wouldn't have us on your show right now. We wouldn't be alive. As you stated earlier, Dr. Stan, the vast majority of people are good people. They have a social conscience, and they have a love and a respect for humanity. It's just this very small percentage of sociopaths that are unfortunately in charge of our world right now that have completely corrupted everything that most people know as far as truth goes. And Mary, you mentioned one thing as far as why is it like this. Well, it's like this for the exact reasons that you stated, and it's also like this because of what we call social engineering of the masses. This was Adolf Hitler's dream, and had Adolf Hitler had television, you and I would be speaking fluent German now.
I think that's really quite true. I think that somebody once said recently that, in fact, earlier this evening, that, you know, after seeing some of the things in America, if Hitler had had, had those techniques available to them, he could have even had more of a grip on the minds of the German people.
Oh, yes, exactly.
There's no question about it. As a matter of fact, the people in Bavaria, many of those people were doctors and some were, lawyers and professional people. The room only held 250 people. There were 260 in there. 10 of them were having to line up around the walls, and the people literally were almost sitting in each other's laps. It was a packed house, and the questions that these people posed to us in the question and answer session after we spoke really brought tears to my eyes because of their sensitivity to reality and what they knew was actually going on, not only in America but around the world. And quite honestly, these sort of things, when Kathy sees them, reinforces what you and I are saying about the majority of people are good people. And that was the most difficult thing for me to convince Kathy of, the fact that not all government people are bad, not all CIA people are bad, and certainly not the vast majority of people are bad.
Hold that thought for just a moment. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guests this evening, Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien. We're just saying that most people in government, most people in the CIA are good people. It's just the small group are really in charge of the evil ones. Kathy, you were about to say something before we interrupted you there.
Well, deprogramming was, of course, a major essential step in my recovery. But once I had remembered my past, once I was aware of where I had been, I had to learn to use my own brain, because for over 10 years, I had only been able to follow orders and do exactly what I was told. This required being able to think further. This required that I was to go and use parts of my brain that I never had before, and to see things in reality rather than through the narrow view of mind control that I had experienced before. I had to learn to expand my thinking to realize, yes, good people do live in this world. Yes, there are good people in the CIA. And not all Catholics are bad. Not all CIA is bad. You know, and these are things that came very clear to me. And in the process of gaining my own ability to think, and these methods too are in our book Access Denied, so that people can use those same methods to learn to expand their thinking beyond social engineering, beyond the limited knowledge base or the misinformation knowledge base that they have from our controlled medias. This is a method that helped me to learn to think again, after so many years of mind control, but it can also free people to think again for themselves and to realize truth in spite of the social engineering that's prevailing.
I think that the important thing is to realize that there is a way out, and for people, some people may even be listening to this program, have been through similar things, either from a satanic point of ritual abuse or from the CIA ritual abuse, that there is a way out, there is really freedom. It's simply, and the most amazing thing, it all has to do with talking and writing and things of this sort. We have one of our people who goes to church with us who actually was a victim of satanic ritual abuse, and you know, it was 20 or 30 years before she was finally able to break this, and she's just as normal as she can be today.
Well, it is truth that makes us free, just like the Bible says, and with good people like you bringing that truth to light and bringing it in front of other people so that they can see, it frees a lot of minds and allows people to expand. We don't need a revolution in this country. We need evolution. We need the evolution of spirit. We need people to remember and to gain that strength of spirit within themselves so that they can stand for what they believe in and make a difference.
Amen to that. Well, right now, somebody had called in and didn't want to come on the air, and they were asking if we have a government within a government. In other words, almost like an invisible government behind the government that we see. Would you like to comment on that, either Mark or Kathy?
I really would. You know, Senator Daniel Lanier stood before the Senate some years back, and he explained that there was a secret government that had its own Air Force and its own Army and its own intelligence arm, and they were in fact in control of the military-industrial complex, and in turn were in control of the media. Now, Senator Nui, as a respected senior senator, he was at that time, and he was the first that I had ever heard, and this was actually on a CNN report, which I later was able to capture from a video that was made of that particular Senate session. I was amazed, absolutely amazed that he actually came forward with that, because this is how Fletcher Prouty knew the government. This is how I knew it. And Fletcher Prouty was a very brilliant man, and he wasn't easily deceived. But, you know, they sent him to the Antarctica the day that Kennedy was assassinated. And, of course, that's what really, when he heard the news about Kennedy being assassinated before he was assassinated, he realized there was a secret government and that he had been a part of it, just like I had been a part of it. And many of the players on the management side, on the lower management side or middle management side, are not aware that they're even a part of this thing. But yes, indeed, there is.
All right, fine, and I certainly concur. I believe that there is a government within a government and out of government, which everybody sees, that goes through the regular functions of government and passes laws. But there's an inner government behind the scenes that either enacts or doesn't enact the laws, that many times does things without even any concern for the law. They create wars, they create revolutions, they assassinate people. It really does go on, ladies and gentlemen. It's not X-Files, it's the truth. And all you need to do is read some of the Senate hearings that talk about this sort of thing. We have them. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we got a little carried away there, but we have no. Sometimes that happens. I forgot to push the right button at the wrong time, or the wrong button at the right time. Anyway, glad to hear about the Dixie, great old song. Anyway, we've got about 30 minutes to go here, so if you're out in the listening audience, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest this evening is Mark Phillips and, of course, Kathy O'Brien. We're talking about their new book, which I recommend to you highly, called Access Denied for Reasons of National Security. And it's the documented journey from CIA mind control slave to a successful U.S. government whistleblower. And people say, well, could the government really use people, you know, against their will? Would they have mind control slaves? And I would ask, if what we're saying is true, why would you doubt that there would be people that would be evil enough to do this? The story, of course, is told in Transformation of America, which we do carry, and we're also going to be carrying the book Access Denied, which I think is going to be an important addition to our armamentarium of information on CIA mind control. Now, of course, it's really a Kathy O'Brien's story of her escape, and then, of course, her recovery, and how she was able to do this. And have you been able to help other people, Mark, other victims of these mind control experiments, with experience that you've gained with Kathy?
Well, Dr. Stan, in one sense, of course, we have. However, I'm not a licensed practitioner. I'm not a licensed mental health therapist, nor would I ever aspire to be. I'm glad these people do what they do. I just, frankly, am not suitable for that kind of job or that kind of work. So what Kathy and I have done in helping people, and I'm sure that some of your past guests would tell you the same thing, is that we've gone around the mental health and explained in workshops exactly what the method was that we used, and it has more or less in the last 5 years become the standard norm for treating dissociative identity disorder and dissociative disorders as a result of trauma. Whether that be as a direct result of our work and working with literally thousands of doctors in both Canada and the U.S. And other countries like Italy and Japan and Australia, and the list goes on, in the Philippines.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Mark was just saying how they're actually, of course, had the opportunity of working with physicians, and not only in this country and in Canada, but throughout the world, and they've taken a number of trips or tours throughout the world, invited to go to other countries to share their experience. You see, people in other countries are hearing about things like this. People are in other countries are hungry for knowledge and understanding of these mind control techniques, which have been refined through Tavistock, through the CIA, through these various bizarre experiments associated with Operation Paperclip, and the fact that most people have never heard of Operation Paperclip, have never heard of Dr. Cameron's bizarre experiences, and the book written about them, A Journey into Madness. In fact, didn't they even, in Canada, didn't they even put together a video about Dr. Cameron?
Yeah, it was a two- or three-part drama series that was, as far as I could determine, historically was 100% accurate. And it was called The Sleep Room, and it was banned in the United States for a long period of time. I got a copy by lying and saying I was a library. I ordered and paid for one out of Canada and was able to get it. However, it is now legal to get, and you can get it. You can go to any of your, you can get it offline. It's called The Sleep Room, and it depicts exactly what happened to those poor people. And one of the last ones that Kathy and I had any contact with, survivors of Dr. Cameron, passed away a couple of years ago, and she asked us to please carry on what we were doing. She was living in Edmonton, Alberta at the time. But you know, Dr. Stan, when people question about mind control, and particularly about trauma-based mind control, and the type that Kathy, the level of mind control that Kathy O'Brien experienced as being perhaps rare as far as what they hear about, they're not listening, because mind control, trauma-based mind control like Kathy had, done to her and so many tens of hundreds of thousands of others, is the number one tool of all terrorists or freedom fighters, depending on where you're standing. In order to convince a 16, 17, 18 year old girl to blow herself up, or a young man to blow themselves up, who have not been devout in their religions, but simply are destitute and are seeking help or refuge in one of these training camps, they wind up being literally cannon fodder, and it's done to them through a regimented type of training. These young people are already suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. They're already prime candidates for mind control, and there are experts that work in these camps that train these people over a relatively short period of time. It takes about 6 months to convince someone by blowing themselves up, they're going to feel better, that their families are going to be better off, and they're going to be better off because of whatever they put into their heads as a belief system. And it's not necessarily the story that you're getting on the news of, for instance, if you blow yourself up, you get 72 virgins. That's a story we hear all the time. Well, why would a 17-year-old girl want 72 virgins as a reward for blowing herself up? I mean, that is absolutely insane. And I asked a number of people within the foreign medias if they were trying to sell that, and they said, no, we don't do that. That's American television. That's American media that's selling that idea.
And because what you're saying is they're using trauma-based mind control experiments in the Muslim training camps, just exactly as we use here within the CIA. That's all part of the same process?
Right, right. I was approached in Indonesia about 4 years ago by a former KGB officer, and I was asked if I would be willing to train trainers in a Central American jungle camp at an extraordinary amount of money. I would work 10 days at $25,000, off 10 days, and on 10 days for $25,000, U.S. dollars, tax-free, and all I would have to do was teach them what I know. I was so incensed at the time that had I not been a prime candidate for back surgery, I'd probably be sitting in some Indonesian prison right now for attacking this guy. I did handle myself well, and I was able to get around it, and I turned all the information, I photographed him, I got everything and turned it over to some friends within the intelligence community and Interpol, and they get back with me and they said that guy has direct ties to CIA and there's nothing we can do about him. So,
in other words, they probably, in many respects, may very well have been setting you up, don't you think?
Well, I thought that too, but then I found out that the camp did exist, and they were recruiting at the time, and of course I wanted to know how or who had inspired him to contact me, and of course my biggest question to him was, you seem to know a lot about me, because he did have a lot of information on me. I said, but have you read our book? And I handed him a copy of Transformation of America. And I said, you need to read this, and you're going to see that you've made a tremendous error in judgment. And I said, I will not stop until I find out who referred me to you.
And was he supposedly was KGB?
He had been with KGB for, I think, about 18, 19 years before the collapse of the KGB, as it was known back in the old Soviet Union days. This person was probably the coldest person. He looked extremely dangerous, and I've been around a lot of dangerous folks in my life, but this fella was particularly menacing looking.
Well, of course, I think it's really so interesting that people who work for the KGB would work for the CIA as well. And in fact, I was just reading a book by a former official, a communist official, talking about how people he knew, of course, within the KGB were actually double agents working for the CIA.
Exactly.
But what was so interesting was when, of course, they were forced to leave Russia and go live in another country, their families... I got a pension from the Russian government. Isn't that interesting? They left their families there, their wife, their children. They got a pension from the Russian government, and the CIA sequestered the people of some other place. So you sort of wonder what the relationship is between the CIA and the KGB.
Well, I knew and or had the chance to meet and work with a number of KGB officers during the 70s, and I found them to be dedicated, good people. I mean, in spite of their profession, these people were in medical electronics, technology, transfers with the United States. And at that time, there was, we were supposedly in a Cold War grips with the Soviet Union. And quite honestly, they didn't recognize a Cold War, and neither did I. We just had to keep our meetings offshore, and the technologies that we're trading back and forth were very beneficial. One in particular, which is now in use in every hospital in the world, was filtered through my hands, and that was the ultrasonic device for busting up gallstones, which at that time was unheard of. Of course, in Russia, they did not have any sort of telemetry, heart monitoring or otherwise. Everything was done by hardwire, and they wanted that technology, so we swapped them.
Well, I think a lot of things happen behind the scenes that most people have no idea.
No idea.
Well, let's get back, of course, to the subject of mind control. Kathy, you know, as you look back on your life, and, you know, you're suddenly now you have your mind, you can think, you can reason, and, of course, you have a purpose for living. But, you know, when you were really trapped in this system, wasn't life just sort of almost like a constant nightmare, like a non-existence?
Well, it was, but I didn't even have that perception. I didn't have any kind of conscious awareness at all. Once, when my father sold me into MK Ultra Mind Control, and the sexual abuse that I had been experiencing, and now expanded and included occult ritual within my local Catholic church, that was so overwhelming to me. It was so horrible, and I felt like I had nowhere to turn. I couldn't turn to my own parents. I couldn't turn to my church. I couldn't turn to politicians who were definitely involved in my MKUltra abuse. So it was too much for any person, let alone a little child, to bear. So it was as though my spirit took flight to a safe, loving place, and my body was just left to endure the tortures and the psychological tortures, the physical tortures of mind control. Once that happened, I had no conscious awareness after that, and my subconscious mind was left to be led. And that being the case, I had no ability to reason or to really understand what it was that was happening to me. And so
there's this I'm stammering over this word. Compartmentalization.
Yes.
Is what I'm trying to think of, is actually how you're able to survive then mentally.
Yes, but there's no continuity of thought, so I couldn't even perceive it as bad, but I was able to, there was a total giving up of hope.
There was no fight or flight syndrome. Involved. You know, when you and I are cornered or when you and I are hurt, we want to either fight or run. But she didn't have that capacity.
I didn't have that anymore, and it was to such an extent that I couldn't even protect my own daughter from MK Ultra mind control abuses once she was born right into the project. And by then, mind control had advanced into much higher technology, which she was exposed to literally since birth.
Well, one thing I would like to ask you, Kathy, before, because we have a caller,
yes.
What about the spiritual aspect of this? Did you get, of course, experience any of the satanic aspects of it? You were talking about the Catholic Church and the satanic abuse,
yes.
There. Is the CIA mind control and satanic abuse overlap?
Absolutely it is.
And I'll inject, too, they know the value of blood traumas on the mind. And, of course, in Satanism, and many of their rituals for traumatizing the onlookers, the CIA was particularly interested in this, and the New York Times even produced a front-page article on it in the 70s, when they found out that the CIA was more interested in infiltrating some 2,000 witchcraft cults in the United States at that time, just to monitor the CIA literally introduced blood traumas into these various tree-hugging groups. And when they found out what the effects were on the onlookers, that's what they were interested in.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
today, whenever blood trauma occurs or whenever trauma occurs in society, such as what happened with 9/11, it traumatizes the whole nation to the point where they're easily led. And they'll see the bloody images over and over on TV and respond to do exactly what they're told.
And
what happened here.
And I think you're absolutely right. They were playing games with our mind.
Yeah.
What really made me realize what was going on was after really a rather few hours of, you know, this acute, coverage, you know, the coverage of everything, and suddenly we're seeing tear-stained faces and the music swelling in the background, and I'm listening. I mean, what's that music doing there? Well, this is like a Hollywood production.
Yeah.
Then I suddenly realized it was a Hollywood production. Now let's go to Bernice calling from Michigan. Hi, Bernice.
I've been listening.
So, can I speak up a little bit, please?
Okay, I've been listening to Kathy.
We can't hardly hear.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay. I was just wondering if maybe they can use some of these things that they've done to Kathy through the years, if it could be incorporated into this No Child Left Behind Act, because the books they have in the libraries at schools now are all... They're different. They're not like they were when I was a child.
And what you're saying is, are they playing games with the minds of our children? Is that the question?
Yes.
All right, Bernie, would you like either one of you want to pick up that?
Oh,
are the school textbooks, are some of these new programs like the No Child Left Behind part of the mind control that you're talking about, or a different type of mind control?
I'm not certain of those books specifically, but absolutely the children in the education system were targeted. Having worked under the education secretary who was bringing in the global education system into the schools, I'm acutely aware that they even discussed among themselves how, quoting Adolf Hitler, that if there were any free thinkers left in society, they weren't concerned because they had the minds of the children through the education system. And the education system was actually deliberately altering history in computers and in textbooks, because once that knowledge base is altered, then the thinking itself is changed.
But if
so
I could suggest,
yes, it's affected in the books, in the school books, and in the computers.
If I could suggest, Bernice, the best description is in Bertrand Russell's book, The Impact of Science on Society, page 50. That's Bertrand Russell's The Impact of Science on Society, page 50. Go to your library, get it, read it, you'll understand that he's saying that they will use the education and the child will never be able to think for themselves afterwards. So that is the ultimate goal.
Wow. I know.
That was the whole purpose behind the point of...
The library books were terrible. They all have something satanic, magic, black magic.
Yeah, they sure do.
In the little bitty kids' school books.
I tell you what, Bernice, pick up a history book from the, grade school history book from the 1940s, and now pick up a grade school history book, American history book, from this millennium, and compare the two.
Okay.
You will barely recognize it's American history.
Oh, wow, because I remember the American history books back in the 50s, you know.
Okay. Thanks very much for calling, Bernice.
Okay, thank you.
God
thank
bless.
You
tell everybody there in Michigan to start listening. Bye-bye.
Okay, I will.
Bye. All right, fine. That's Bernice calling from Michigan. And
that's a good point, too, because, you know, Dr. Stan, there's mind control, as we've discussed many times, is like a sliding scale, and information control is where it starts.
And, of course, if they can control the access to information, they can control what people see, what they hear, what they read, and ultimately what they believe. And those of you, of course, who haven't read the new book, it's The New Media Monopoly by Ben Bektaki. And this is the seventh edition of his book. Started in 1983 when, of course, there were 50 major corporations that controlled or dominated the American media. 1987, I think, or 9, there were 29 in the year 2000, there were 6, today there are 5.
That's
the story. 5 major corporations dominate the American media. The New Media Monopoly by Ben Bektaki, and carried, available from Radio Liberty. We'll be right back in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guests this evening, Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien, and they've been very gracious to be with us here for 2 hours on election evening. But I think that the message is so important. We really need to get this out. We need to get people thinking. Because, in my estimation, what we're talking about here is far more important than whether Socialist Party A or Socialist Party B candidate are elected to the president. They both come from the same secret society from Yale. They share the same secret handshakes. They share the same secret indoctrination. They share the same secrets of the tomb. So, Mark or Kathy, we've got about 2 minutes. Would you like to wrap up the program?
Well, secret knowledge equals power, my friend. And this is a world ruled by secrecy, and it has been since the dawn of man. And you and I both know where this emanates from. And when you hand someone secrets, and when it's allowed to be used as a control mechanism, it's an opportunity for pure evil to step in and take over, and that's exactly what's happened.
And I think that really epitomizes this. This is an organization of evil. It is orchestrated. They know exactly what they're doing. They have business meetings. They have progress charts. They have scientific laboratories. And, of course, they're using human beings as their subjects. Kathy, do you have any parting thoughts for us?
Well, I certainly agree with this, the kind of social engineering and the information control that's gone on for so long definitely has had its hold on society. But we've also reached a point now where people are waking up from the fear. They're tired of being controlled by fear. They're tired of the lies. They're tired of the misinformation. And people are beginning to ask questions and are looking for the truth and wanting to have answers. So these criminals who've been controlling our information for so long are just flat thinkers. They're very intelligent, but they only think in one direction. They lack that soul. They lack that strength of spirit. They lack that wisdom. And with that strength of spirit and that wisdom comes the capacity to be able to think and to know truth and to be able to stand by it. And more people are having that kind of awakening.
They sure are.
Well, happening.
We're out of time. I want to thank both Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips for being with us this evening. It's been a fascinating time, as always. And, of course, we'll look forward to talking to you. I think we have another program a little later this week, but God bless you both for being with us.
And God bless you, my friend, and may your work just continue to be blessed.
Well, as long as we look to the Lord for our source, because we're certainly never going to be able to stand against these dark forces.
No, I can't stand against them.
Good night to both of you. God bless you. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when we have to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to helping us. We're on the front lines of this battle 5 hours a day. You can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet. If you want more information, go to RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com, our early morning program on the American Freedom Network. AmericanNewsNet.com. That's AmericanNewsNet.com for the first hour from 7 to 8 in the morning Pacific time, and then from 3 to 5 in the hour afternoon Pacific time on GCNLive.com or RadioLiberty.com for the second hour of the evening, 2 hours at RadioLiberty.com. Radio Liberty programs are archived, also heard on RBNLive.com and Soundwave2000.com. But why don't you just stick to Radio Liberty? And then, of course, you can hear us 4 hours a day on the shortwave, 5 hours a day on satellite, and, of course, someplace by radio across the nation 5 hours a day. So we're fortunate not only to be able to talk to people across America, but all around the world by the miracle of Internet and shortwave. And your job, ladies and gentlemen, is to tell others about our program. We need them to be listening. We need them to get informed. We need them to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle between good and evil. It's being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, economic, educational battlefield. And most people don't even know the battle is going on. These are not imaginary spiritual forces. They're real. And, of course, they're headed by the prince of this world, Satan himself. And he has his dominions, and he has his demons, and he has his disciples. There is a trinity of evil, just as there is a trinity of good. Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Everything within Satanism is a mirage of Christianity. And, of course, they're doing everything they can. In fact, they even have a new Ten Commandments. They call it the Earth Charter. They put it in the Ark of Hope, the counterpart of the Ark of the Covenant. And when you understand that everything is a mirror image, and who is it, of course, who's behind that? The Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Hope, the new Ten Commandments, the Earth Charter. Why, that great American patriot, Mikhail Gorbachev. And if any of you would like to see who is on his board of directors, we have this. We got it actually from the State of the World Forum. And who was there? Why, George H.W. Bush. There was certainly George Shultz. George Shultz. You'll see, of course, he's the man who gave California Arnold Schwarzenegger. You'll find Ted Turner. You'll find many of the leaders of the world, all either co-chairman or on the board of directors of Mikhail Gorbachev's State of the World Forum. And, of course, Marie Strong, who wrote the Earth Charter along with Gorbachev, is on the board of directors of the World Future Society. And they have a logo, at least they did until we started talking to it. They've changed it now. But if you'd like to see pictures of it, it's in Kathy Burns' book, Dr. Kathy Burns' book, Freemasonic and Occult Symbols. It was a circle made up of three sixes. Six, six, six. They understand the battle. It's just the Christians don't. And tragically, our churches are not telling us this. Our ministers don't know. They've been misled in their seminaries. And, of course, there's an organized effort to use Christianity to destroy Christianity. And our job is, well, of course, to get people to understand what's going on in the world today. So pray for America. Pray for our leaders. Pray for revival, because if the people of this country don't wake up and return to God, boy, we're going to lose America, and we'll lose a lot more than that as well. And then please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, our web address, radioliberty.com. Until tomorrow at the same time, we'll be back again, I guess, Thursday, Dr. Stan, good night, and may the Lord be with you.